In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's Hoffman Show on a Monday on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Ding. Coming up in just a little bit, our 53-player roster projection, although we are going to try to aim for 70. We know that obviously they will be bringing in some players from the outside, and thus there will not be 70 current commanders that are 70 commanders on, this time tomorrow. The 4 o'clock deadline now just under 24 hours away, but we're going to give it our best shot and talk through it all, and really the analysis is what you come for, not the actual list. So we will get to it all coming up at 4:30. Not very much time until we do our final roster projection. But first, it is the day after a Commanders game, and thus it is time for First and 10.
It's time to get the breakdown started. 1, 2, 3, 4. First up, 10 observations.
Mr. Gizai, and just boom, put him right on the ground.
It's First and 10.
All right, here we go.
Number one.
And the most important thing, honestly, from the Commanders game against the Patriots is not the Commanders and Patriots that played. It's the Commanders that didn't. It was fairly surprising to see just how thorough the inactive list was for a couple of reasons that I'll get into more specifically in number 2 and 3. But if we take an even wider view of that, my biggest takeaway from the game is I think it's pretty fascinating the Commanders treated this final week as many other teams are. So this is not a criticism. It's not a, hey, they messed up. It's just an observation with no value assigned. That they don't really see this as a useful tool to prepare for the season anymore. Preseason has been so devalued, and the more teams that treat it like this, the more true it becomes. It is in some ways a self-fulfilling prophecy. But Logan put it very succinctly this morning when we were talking on Take Command. He goes, until you have game planning, you're not playing NFL football. And so because teams don't game plan at this point ever in the preseason, it gets to a point where the preseason games are really not that different from joint practices or even your regular practices. And in some ways, those joint and regular practices are more beneficial in terms of preparation than an actual preseason game. Of course, there is something to finishing your blocks, actually tackling to the ground. There's a skill sharpness that you get out of preseason that you can't get in practice. And I do think teams utilize the preseason for some of that stuff, which is why you have guys playing weeks 1 and week 2. Or Carolina took the method where they said, no, we're going to ramp up into the third preseason game. So guys didn't play the first 2 weeks, and Carolina actually played their starters this weekend. So there are different ways of going about it, but this all started from a tweet that I got from at DC Pac-Man, I believe was who sent it. And he goes, why did Emmanuel Forbes play? And I had, because I was on Twitter, I was in snarky brain, and I was like, because he's a starter and he's making the team and that's not in question. But then I was like, wait, don't hit send on that yet. Like, that's why, but isn't, I don't think that's the point here. I think the point is he's going like, why didn't Forbes get more reps? They want to get him more reps. Why doesn't, don't some of the receivers get more reps? Like, there's these young players that clearly could benefit from the experience. So why don't you give them the experience? And the answer, the retort would simply be the experience isn't actually either that that useful for the player or that instructive for the evaluator. And if you're not going to get a whole lot out of it and you're not going to learn anything new at that point, you still have all the risk of playing a football game and in terms of injury. And why would you hurt someone that is in your plans for the roster? And I guess that's the logic. I don't know that I fully agree with it. I do think that there probably should be some more guys playing. Like, if I was running a team, I'd probably do it slightly differently. But I also fully understand it and would be very open to hearing whether it's Dan or Adam or whoever is driving that ship, whoever's got the most information on that in terms of why they handled this the way they did. I'd be open to learning more and hearing more specifically why they chose to do that, and would be open to the fact that I'm wrong in that doing, even, you know, having some of the younger players play more, actually the juice isn't worth the squeeze.
Number two.
With that said, there's a couple of guys that I definitely would have expected to play that are healthy, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I guess you're 100% on the team. And frankly, one of them was a bit of an oversight on mine and Logan's part when we did our 53. And Anthony, I'll take the L on this one because, you know, we didn't even consider this guy when we did our 53 on Friday because we based it off the Tate Command 53, and that's Michael Davis. Like, obviously, he's making the team. You know, I had said, hey, like, I don't know. He hasn't had a good spring. There's a couple other young corners. Or he hadn't had a great summer. Like, there's a couple other young corners. I think it's pretty clear BSJ and Forbes are going to start, or Sainer still and Forbes are going to start. And then Mikey will slide inside on three receiver sets. But Michael Davis is making the team. So he's one of those. And then the other one is Jamison Crowder. And that one is less surprising to me on some respects. Like, Davis is kind of obvious, I guess, so maybe it's not. But I think that one's less surprising to me than it is a lot of other people. Jamison Crowder is their number one punt returner, and he hasn't taken a punt return the entire preseason. Why? Because they're that confident in him. They know what he can do. And as a receiver, he's just reliable. Like, they know what he is. And I think especially with the Dotson trade, you look at it and you go, okay, if they see Jahan as a slot receiver, how much different is Jamison Crowder, or how much better at it potentially even is Jamison Crowder with the years of experience he has in the slot? And clearly they don't see that much of a difference. I think they're very different players, but for what they want, apparently Crowder's the right guy. So I will not be surprised if this roster ultimately has five receivers on it and it's the five dudes who didn't play yesterday. I think there's a couple other guys that have a chance, but there definitely could be just those five. And speaking of
number three,
third observation from the game is that they didn't, it kind of goes hand in hand with the last two. I'm kind of surprised they didn't play the receivers. Not because De'Ami Brown needs to prove his spot on the team, not because Luke McCaffrey needs to prove his spot on the team. Simply because you had a chance to get more information on these guys to understand where to slot them. It was another chance in a game. And by the way, for as much as we said in that, you know, in my first bullet point, if you will, or as much as I said, the more teams that do this, no game planning, not playing guys, the more true it becomes that it's not worth it. New England played their guys last night. You had a chance to go up against a number one offense or number one defense, and you didn't need to put your number one offense out there. You could have played De'Ami Brown and Luke McCaffrey for a quarter with Jeff Driscoll against the New England once and seen how they handled it. No Dotson out there, etc. And that would have been a good data point to decide playing time. But they clearly feel like they have a really good assessment of where everybody is. They chose to not do that. I thought that was interesting. Again, I'm not going to sit here and arrogantly proclaim that they're wrong by any stretch of the imagination because they have more information than me. And this is one of those situations where I look at the information they have and go, I just got to trust them on this one. But it is something that's worth pointing out that not only did they not do any more evaluation, or do they limit the evaluation to the end of the roster guys, or not just the super lock starters, it's the guys battling for minutes that are on the roster for sure, but we don't know in what role. Those guys didn't get any time last night either. All right, that's our top three observations from the game. Next, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's because 3 plus 7 is 10, and it's 1st and 10. The next 7 have to do with actual players who played. We'll get to those next on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live as well on the free Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
At some point at a time later in the show, Anthony, we can tell everybody what just happened in that commercial break. Just a minor heart attack of a tech issue. But it's okay. We're here. We're back. We're good. We're rolling. I'm in my account. I have all my notes. All the things are working. And that means, Anthony, that we can resume. 1st and 10. All right, let's get to it. The players from the actual game. Commanders 20, Patriots 10.
Number 4.
So the guy that everyone's going to want to talk about today, and for good reason, is Martavis Bryant. Big ol' 88 was big ol' 88. He got to it down the field multiple times, got a couple of pass interference flags, a couple of catches, including the touchdown from McSorley when he just used, you know, went all big body on the slant. Like, it wasn't even pretty. It was just like, I am literally going to run up to the goal line, turn, put my butt into the defender, and be a huge human. And that is a skill set that you cannot teach. That was awesome. But he's doing it against dudes that aren't going to make the New England Patriots, who are one of the worst teams in the league. So I think it's important to remember the context here that Bryant still has been doing everything that he's been doing against twos and threes, if not fours, guys that are not going to be starters in the NFL. That doesn't mean that he can't, in practice, you know, go out and do good work and progress. And now if he's going to be on the practice squad, potentially do it against Forbes and St. Juice and be killing them consistently, then maybe he gets called up. So I would say right now, Martavis Bryant, on track, not on the roster, although he's certainly done a tremendous job considering the time he's been here to give himself a chance.
Number 5.
All right, number 5. I thought maybe the two best players in the game yesterday, Phil Mathis and John Ridgeway, they were both awesome interior defensive linemen. I'll tell you right now, I'm going to find a way to get both on our 53 coming up here in about 20, 25 minutes when we get to the defense. Those dudes are quick. They're explosive. They made plays in the run. They made plays as pass rushers. They have forced the issue in the way you'd love to force the issue. And I think that there is also a chance, and I'm going to credit John Kime for this because he's the one who said it, there's a chance that one of them gets traded. Ridgeway is a guy that's flashed in the last couple of years. Mathis is a guy that was a former second-round pick John said on his podcast that apparently the Commanders have already gotten calls on Ridgeway. And this was, you know, John recording this after the game last night, presumably, or first thing this morning. So there is definitely a chance that one of them doesn't make it because they are on another team and the Commanders have gotten something in return, because ultimately these guys are fourth, fifth string guys. They are not getting a ton of reps over John Allen, Daron Payne, and Johnny Newton. This is the next guy in that rotation. But both of them have made a tremendous case to be here, and they just unfortunately don't fit the body type that Dan Quinn likes to use heavier of traditionally. He likes to use, for instance, like he did last night, KJ Henry as a three technique, take an edge long, you know, speedy, explosive athlete, and let's bump him inside on a third down or in a 2-minute situation, which is even less reps for one of these guys. So I tend to think that they've got Mathis over Ridgeway. Ridgeway was awesome last night. Mathis was excellent last night. So just, you know, for right now, hat tip to those guys, and we'll sort it out as we go.
Number 6.
Cole Turner. Man, that dude's bag stays mixed. Like the catch down the field from him last night, that's big time. The penalty, that's big time bad. The drops in the first half, I would say a couple things on those. One, I'm not entirely sure those are his fault. The first one's a really good play by DB. It's not a very good ball. Cole does a good job to get his hands on it and make it a fight. But I don't really put that, like, that's not a negative on Cole Turner by any stretch of the imagination. The second one, it depends on who was right. It's a miscommunication between Driscoll and Turner. One seems to be reading man, as Chris Collinsworth said on the broadcast. The other one's reading zone. And, well, if Cole Turner read it correctly, then that's on Jeff Driscoll. And if he didn't, that's on Cole Turner. But that ball's thrown with zero touch. It's just a flamethrower outside of Cole Turner. It's not great. But I also think when Dan Quinn said after the game, there's guys that were tight early on and they played better in the second half because they played a little bit more relaxed and they just wanted it so bad. Like, I think Cole Turner falls into that camp. And so if they think that Cole Turner, they can get in a better headspace when it's not this like, hey, dude, your job is on the line today game, then maybe, or he learns from this and they think that's good enough. He's done enough in camp to make it interesting as a fourth tight end. I don't know that's ultimately good enough to get him on. We're going to play with the numbers here in a sec, but damn, that dude's got a mixed bag last night in that game.
Number 7.
Kaz Allen. Everyone wants him to be on the team except for me. Nothing personal to Kaz. He just doesn't do it for me. Do we know he's twitchy and explosive and there's quote-unquote potential, but he hasn't actually done it. Like, I've watched a lot of dudes in preseason that are special athletes that go out and produce. Rashad Ross, my era on the beat being number one, right? Like, Rashad Ross would go out and make plays. And then when he finally got in the league, he had a kickoff return for a touchdown. He had a long touchdown. And yeah, he made a ton of mental mistakes and drove coaches nuts. But like, at least you'd sometimes go, oh, that's why that dude's on the team. Steven Sims, a couple years ago, the punt returner. Like, he'd show it. You'd be like, oh, that's why that dude's on the team despite all the other stuff that drives you nuts sometimes. Kaz Allen has yet to actually make a big, giant play as a running back, as a receiver, as a returner, and last night was more of the same. So I'm out on Kaz Allen for the 53 if they want to keep him developing him and try to teach him how to read blocks better and stuff like that and unlock his athleticism. I'm perfectly fine with that. I'll probably put him on the practice squad, but I'm not putting him on the 53.
Number 8.
Noah Igbinoghene did not have a good day at the office. I don't think it matters. Number 19, Chisaw playing cornerback. Yep, heck of a throw by Drake May on that out route for the touchdown that beats him. Like, that's a silly velocity throw, but you can't have that happen. You just make the tackle. They went for the pick. But also, you know, we've talked about this. There's some routes they want these guys to jump, and if you get beat by the throw, then you get beat by the throw, and you're supposed to have help behind you, and there should have been someone else behind him. That should have not been a touchdown. There's a couple other plays where he gets beat in coverage, but he's generally had a phenomenal camp. And I think overall, you have to look at the totality of the practices, the other games. You can't let the last data point be so much more important than everything else. So I think Noah Igbinoghene is safe, despite the fact that he had a bad day at the office.
Number 9.
Good for Cade York. Good for the Anthony. We had a kicker yesterday wearing burgundy, black, but burgundy and gold in theory, in spirit, and he made kicks. I, for one, like that. I like the kicks that go through the uprights.
You like it? I love it.
Also, Logan, who's down on the field, obviously, because he's doing the radio broadcast now, he said the ball flies off his foot. So maybe they got their kicker.
Ooh.
Are we finally going to be able to take the TBD line off of the kicker in the roster chart?
I mean, there are some kickers out there still, though. I think they'll take their time.
I think it's definitely possible that they go somewhere else, but we'll see. K. York, good for him. And you know what? My last one, Anthony, number 10.
Number 10.
Good for Trace McSorley, man. That is not easy to do what he's done the last couple weeks. Come in on a Thursday, and by 10 days later, you've played two games. And in the second one, like, you make a bunch of plays. And is it smooth, operational NFL offense? Hell no. Hell no. He's running around like a crazy man. He's delivering blows. But, like, go make plays, dude. I loved what I saw from Trace McSorley yesterday. And Dan, you know, talked about it in the press conference, how cool it is for McSorley and Bryant to connect on that touchdown, considering they showed up in Miami kind of basically together. And so good for Trace McSorley. You just never know when the end is going to be. And I hope that performance helps Trace McSorley stay in an NFL building, whether it's this one or somewhere else, that someone goes, hey, you're worth a practice squad spot. You're worth keeping around. We know if, God forbid, you had to play, you're going to be a freaking gamer. And he's apparently, you know, great kid and is good to have in the room. So, like, that's a valuable asset to have in a quarterback room. And, you know, you just, for a guy that was on his couch a couple weeks ago thinking his NFL dream might be over, hat tip and round of applause for the kid from Ashburn, Trace McSorley. And that'll wrap up our first and 10. We get back. Time to number crunch. 53-man roster projection. We dive into the offense next. We are brought to you by Floor & Decor. Unbeatable prices, unmatched in-stock selection. Floor & Decor has more styles of laminate, vinyl, tile, wood, and stone for anyone looking for the right look at the right price. Your next beautiful space is at Floor & Decor. Right now, it is time to dive into what everyone has been waiting for. Not going to make you wait very long. It is the 53-player roster projection for the Commanders now that the preseason is done. A couple of quick just parameters along the way. We are going to do a 53, obviously. There are also two spots, and this is new, and I haven't heard anyone else talk about this. I don't think a lot of other people are aware of this, and I will shout out the listener who sent me an email about this over the weekend saying, why is no one talking about this? And the answer is because none of us realized that it happened, but I have confirmed this with Commander's PR. There are two spots available for players to go immediately to IR. So this in some ways could wind up as many as a 55, unlike in years past when, say, a Jordan McGee would have to go on the 53 for 24 hours before being put on IR, risking another player. That will affect, well, Jordan McGee's position, at least in this projection. I don't know that it's actually going to affect that, but we'll talk about it with a couple of injured guys when we get there. The other thing is we are going to try to name a practice squad the best that we can. We know that there will be waiver claims and outside players. I don't know the other 31 rosters well enough to project claims and who's going to get cut. I'm trying to do this the best I can for the Commanders. So we realize that this roster will not be 100% correct because we couldn't possibly project a 100% correct one. Adam Peters today couldn't project a 100% correct roster by Friday because he doesn't know who's going to become available at other places. But we're going to do our best. We're going to see how it goes. And really, friends, the journey is about what you do along the way. And that, AKA, come for the analysis, not just the spreadsheet. Although we are going to put up an on-demand version of this with a spreadsheet later on. Unfortunately, we can't share the screen right now with our current setup. But if you're watching on-demand on YouTube later, we will have a version of this that has the spreadsheet with it being edited in real time. Anything else on the housekeeping front, Anthony?
I think all bases are covered. Let's get it.
All right, let's do it. QB1, Jaden Daniels.
Yes, sir.
Hooray! QB2, Marcus Mariota. Hooray! Did I spell Mariota right? M-A-R-I-O-T-A. Okay, good. Excellent. Do you think Jeff Driskel has done enough to be a QB3 slash do you want three roster spots spent on quarterbacks?
I don't think we need three.
I agree. I think between, as long as Driskel or Hartman makes it, I'm okay. And frankly, if I lose Jeff Driskel, that like kind of sucks. But if they get to Jeff Driskel in the season and they've already lost Jaden and lost Marcus Mariota, at that point, please tank for draft picks.
Yeah.
So I'm actually, like if this team was trying to compete for this year, or if, God forbid, they are, you know, three games above 500 and Jaden gets hurt going into week 10 and it's a two-week injury and Marcus got hurt in practice or something silly and they need to stay afloat, yeah, I'll wish they had Jeff Driskel. But there's also a really good chance they can get Jeff Driskel to practice squad. So I'm going to go ahead and put not only Jeff Driskel on practice squad, and I'm going to hope that that's the case, but I'm going to put Sam Hartman there as well. And by the way, these first six practice squad spots, I've got them starred because there are six spots that have basically no restrictions. So anybody that's a vet, we're going to put in these six spots. I don't know that we're going to need all six, but just for simplicity, I'm not going to go any further into the practice squad rules right now, but that's that. Okay, running back. I'm going to go with three, definitely. And the three definites are Brian Robinson Jr., Austin Eckler, and Jeremy McNichols. I think McNichols, obviously, he's been RB3 the entire time. The other thing is, man, last night that run he had out to the left side where he lowered the shoulder, I'm like, that just seals your fate as a commander, young man. The physicality, gotta love it. Physicality, versatility, he's a commander.
Yeah, I like three running backs for us. I would have wanted to see. Oh, we're talking about practice squad too, though, right?
Yes. Eventually, like we have to decide if there's anybody else we want on the active roster first.
Oh,
but
yeah,
yes.
I'm good with three. Three is fine.
Okay, then you get to practice squad. This is where it gets interesting. Chris Rodriguez, Michael Wiley. I think those are the names that we're probably making cases for. And I would honestly like to keep both of them.
Yep.
I'm going to put Chris Rodriguez up here because this is year, or I guess he was a rookie last year, so he can actually go down here. And rookie Michael Wiley can go there as well. Okay. So we have gone short at two positions so far. And I will say,
very important.
This is something that I think we're going to do on the entirety of the offense. So we'll talk about that more because I do think that the way some of the roster mechanics are going to work and who they want to add potentially, I think I'd rather keep heavy on defense, search in the waiver wire for some offensive guys, potentially tight end, wide receiver, we'll get to it. And then also not put, like I want to let other teams fill up on some waiver claims and some other guys they've signed before putting a couple of players out in to the pool to see if I can sneak them back onto the practice squad because other teams have already filled, then they would have maybe taken our guy instead. All right, so you want to go tight end or wide receiver next?
Let's do tight end first and then get to wide receiver because, man.
Okay, so tight end, I'm going to put three spots and then we can talk about a fourth. But for sure, we got Zach Ertz. For sure, we have Ben Sinnott. And for sure, we have John Bates. I think that there are two guys in consideration for tight end four. Yes. And I know everyone's like, wait, what? Cole Turner. Colson Yankoff has been really, really solid on special teams, like one of their better special teams guys. And he has done enough at tight end to be like, I think he's playable. I also am very confident Colson Yankoff can get to practice squad because he was an undrafted free agent. Turner, I'm slightly less confident, but I also don't know based off the preseason games where he struggled that anyone who's seen not practice is going to watch Cole Turner, a fifth-round pick from the Ron Rivera era, a couple of years into his career, who hasn't been able to crack any kind of production, and be like, gotta have that dude. So I think you could probably get both of them to the practice squad if you really wanted to. And then it comes down to, do you want to do that or do you actually want one of these guys on your roster for game day for all the two tight end sets? Both of them play teams. On down the list of reasons why you'd want one of them on your roster.
I'm in favor of keeping a fourth.
I think I am as well.
That fourth is Cole Turner, but
are you sure?
That's who I would lean.
It does seem like he's
lean towards him. But also for the reason you just said, you know, we can get Colson to the P squad. And if we gotta move one up, move one down, I think that's where we would go. But again, I will still give Cole Turner the edge because the experience, he is a big target. He has shown he can catch, I guess, if the ball is right there on him.
The second play he makes, or the play he makes in the second half last night is sick.
Yeah. 25 yard, that was tough.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. I think you're probably right. Although there's a part of me that just, my rebel instincts want to take over. And I shouldn't do that. I should just do the thing that's probably more logical. And, you know, Turner was ahead of him on the depth chart clearly going into the game last night. So there is that.
Yeah.
All right. Wide receiver. Terry McLaurin. Then you have Deami Brown.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Alamide.
Zacchaeus.
You have Luke McCaffrey. And you have Jamison Crowder. And that was a bit of a surprise last night. He's healthy. He was a scratch. He's making the team. The question is, do we need
a sixth?
A sixth.
Yes, we do.
Okay, here's my question then.
Okay.
Who is it?
Byron Pringle.
Okay, so this is who my sixth would be. I will say they re-signed Byron Pringle, who was available for anyone to sign 2 weeks ago. So if they wanted to get him to practice squad, I do think they could. I also don't know how hard it would be. Like, how much are you really losing from Pringle to Rosemee Jack Saint? That is kind of the hard thing here.
Veteran experience. The dude is a proven vet. He's coming from, you know, a Super Bowl winning franchise.
I would probably have Pringle on. I also would say he's probably the first guy that might get waived if there's another veteran receiver that gets cut and becomes available.
Okay.
So then you get to the wide receivers on the practice squad. Martavis Bryant, I'm going to put on in one of these veteran spots.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? I think Jack Saint.
I like Jack Saint too.
I think Tinsley had a nice game last night.
Yeah, he did. Where do we put Cass Allen, or does he just get cut?
That's completely a good question. I think a lot of projections that I've seen have Cass Allen on because they've talked so highly of him. I think he had to make a play, and he didn't.
Do nothing.
So I think he winds up on.
Okay.
I think Jack Saint is hyphenated, by the way. So for whatever that's worth, do that. See, this is the hard part of like Tinsley, Davion Davis, Bryson Tremaine. Like, I can make arguments for all these guys. How many of a 17-player practice squad are they going to keep?
I think you keep Tremaine over Jack Saint.
I don't know, man.
I guess
Bryson's been really good, but it...
Yeah, he ain't make a play yesterday either,
he didn't make
though.
Any plays in the preseason actual games.
Yeah.
This is tough. I don't want to spend too much time on practice squad guys, but I am going to say... I'm going to go ahead and go running back Cass Allen.
Okay.
But then if that's the case, are you keeping Chris Rodriguez and Michael Wiley and Cass Allen? Or is C-Rod toast?
Can we come back to the P squad after we do the defense?
Yes, we can. All right. So if that's the case.
There's going to be some tough cuts.
Yes, for sure. Okay. Then we got the O-line and then we got a commercial break. And then we're going to have to speed through the defense because there's never enough time to do anything on this radio show. Let's go to Brandon Coleman. If the host didn't talk so much. Brandon Coleman, Sam Cosmi, Tyler Biadasz. Then we have at left guard Nick Allegretti. And then we have, I should have done Andrew Wiley there. And Brandon Coleman there. Then I'm going to say we know that the swing tackle is Cornelius Lucas.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get fun. I think Chris Paul's on the team.
Man, he is. He looked solid yesterday. I'm not going to say he looked, you know, the greatest, but he looked really comfortable out there.
He does look really good at tackle, which also to me means Trent Scott's not making it. He's hurt, though. I don't know whether they'll IR him designated him to return, so I'm going to leave that roster spot free. But actually, you know what? I'm going to put one of these. I'm going to put Trent Scott over here. I don't know the severity of his injury, but we're just for right now, so we don't forget about him.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Dieter, veteran. He's been their backup center all camp long. I don't think they're going to switch on that. And then is there another guy?
Like, not another lineman that just jumps out. I think Trent Scott was the other guy.
See, to me, this is when you get into, like, okay, who do you put on P-Squad and do you trust those guys? I would say, like, a Ricky Stromberg, I would hope. Like, he was a third-round pick last year.
Yeah.
So there's probably going to be one or two more. Oh, I know the other guy, the best next guy has been Julian Good-Jones. But this is also a potential waiver situation. So I would say that keep your eye out for an O-line waiver situation that could affect that. That gets us to 25 on offense. I also don't know that I like that. I might want to...
24.
Yes, 24, because we're on line 25, but I have the position thing and the depth. Yeah. So 24 on offense. I feel a little better about that. So where do we make the tough cuts on defense? We'll do it next. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. All right, we've named our 24 on offense. We've loaded up the practice squad quite a bit. Let's get to the 26 we will have then on defense, or will we change it and go 27? Or will we add someone on offense? Let's get to it. D-line across the board, we know that the there's going to be a lot of D-linemen kept. Well, at least I know that on this very specific version of this roster projection, because I'm going to keep extras. John Allen, Daron Payne, Cleland Furl, Dorrance Armstrong, got those four as your starters. Immediately, then you got Johnny Newton. Newton's injury sounds like it's not a multi-week thing, so I'm going to give him an actual roster spot, although if he needs to go to one of these short-term IR spots, that would actually be very helpful in the long term, but obviously in the short term, we want him to be out there healthy and playing football. So Johnny Newton, the other D end that I'm missing that's a lock is Dante Fowler. And then you get to the fun. So we've got right now 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Anthony, I think I'm going to keep 11.
Woo!
I'll explain why in a second.
I was about to say, because are you combining a potential linebacker, DN, kind of hybrid kind of guy, or?
If you mean Jamin Davis, yes.
Okay, just making sure.
So I'm going to say Jamin Davis is on. He wouldn't be the next guy, yeah. But Jamin Davis is on. I'm going to say that both Fedarian Mathis and John Ridgeway are on.
Oh, you're keeping both.
And then the extra guy, if you will, is Javonte Jean-Baptiste.
Yeah, I like his upside.
I think Davis and Jean-Baptiste have both played well enough to... Oh, shoot, I'm one short still. KJ Henry. And in fact, yeah. Sorry, I'm going to move Jamin Davis down here because KJ Henry deserves to be in the lock area. I think the likelihood they keep Mathis and Ridgeway is 50-50. I think Mathis is ahead of Ridgeway on the depth chart based off when they played last night. Ridgeway certainly played his way right up there with Mathis, but Mathis also played really well. I also know that John Keim said on his show that teams have already been calling about Ridgeway, so there's definitely a chance to potentially flip him. I mean, it'd be pretty sick to get, you know, if you can get a fourth rounder for John Ridgeway, who was drafted in the fifth round a couple of years ago that you claimed off waivers. Like, all in all, that's good business, even if John Ridgeway is a good football player. And, you know, he's someone that you want to have on your football team because he's good at football. But I do think it's worth saying that, like, both those guys have done good things, I definitely can make a case for keeping either of them. John Baptiste and Davis feel both like projects. If I got to pick one to try to get to practice squad, I'm probably picking John Baptiste. I know they drafted him, but they drafted him in the seventh round. And Jamin is a guy that I think, you know, of all these guys that are potential waiver claims guys, I think that he is the toughest one to get to waivers because he's a former first rounder. There could be another GM that loved him in the draft that is like, I don't know what Washington's done with him, but we can save him. Let's use our waiver claim. Let's get him. Mm-hmm. Screw this defensive end thing. He's playing linebacker for us. Let's see what we can do. And I think that's a chance. And so if they want to continue the Jamin Davis experience or experiment, I'm not going to say they have to put him on the 53, but I really think they need to put him on the 53. Obviously they do to guarantee it, but I think even just a likelihood situation. So I know that's a lot of dudes. I know that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. But I'm cool with 11 there because I have an extra spot. I know some teams only keep 9, but I have an extra spot. And I also think that, like, if you can put John Baptiste on initially, you make a waiver claim on a wide receiver or an O-lineman, you cut him on Wednesday after all these teams have put their waiver claims in and maybe signed other teams and filled up their practice squads, made some commitments, then maybe you waive him and sign him back to your practice squad the next day. That's how I'm trying to sneak him through. He would be the guy, or even Ridgeway or Mathis on the way out, but that's kind of where we are, in my opinion.
I like it, but I think it's because we're one short on the offensive side. I think if we had 25 offensive players, I don't think we could keep 11.
Well, that's part of the reason you do it.
Yeah.
And I don't think that you're missing. I mean, they're going to have guys that are inactive on game day, all this kind of stuff, and maybe Mathis or Ridgeway winds up being one of those guys. But and it's hard because Quinn typically likes some of the other – you know, some of the longer body types versus the bigger dudes like Mathis and Ridgeway. But I think both of them have earned a spot on the team. So I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
All right. Bobby Wagner, he's on. Frankie Louvu, he's on. This is where it gets interesting, right? I think Michael Walker is on. I think that Dominique Hampton is on as a linebacker. And I think this is also something that is helpful here in a way.
McGee.
I think Jordan McGee goes to one of those IR spots.
And we need it.
So then the question becomes, do you keep Anthony Pittman until then as a fifth true linebacker? Because then you're thin. Let's say no for now.
Yeah.
Because guys like Chin can play, Quan can play in the box. Like, you have a bunch of dudes that can play down there. Okay, then you have corner. And we're going to say we're going to go 5 of those to start. And then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 safeties potentially. We'll see. One of these might turn into an extra corner.
Yeah.
Okay. So we know Emmanuel Forbes Jr. is making the team. We know, I'm just going to put BSJ, Benjamin St. Juice. Michael Davis should have had him on the whole time. That's a bad job out of us. Michael Davis is on. Then we got Mike Sainer still is on. I still think, despite last night, Noah Igbinoghene is on. And then, honestly, I'm going to skip ahead here a sec. I think the competition is between Tariq Castro Fields and Derek Forrest. And I would lean towards Castro Fields right now for special teams value and extra outside corner depth.
I like it.
All right.
I like it then.
Tariq Castro
Fields. I really am a big fan of Derek Forrest, though.
Yeah, I hate that because I really like Defoe. But unfortunately, I just don't realistically think that he's going to make it. And then you have, you know, over on the practice squad side, obviously we don't need some of these veteran spots anymore, so I'm just going to go say Chigozie Anusium winds up being there just, you know, for keeping track. Safety, you then have Quan Martin. You have Jeremy Chin. You have Percy Butler. You have
Jeremy Reeves. Then T.O.
Tyler Owens. Tyler Owens. An easy name to spell. Tressway. Tyler Ott. And then I'm going to put Cade York down.
I think
there's definitely a chance it's not Cade York, but I'm going to put Cade York down as the kicker. And that's it. The only other note that I'll make on the practice squad, which where we've now filled quite a bit of it, we didn't really do as much on the defensive side, which leaves room for a couple of extra linemen if you want to go deeper at wide receiver. Haggai Ndubuisi is worth pointing out. He is their international pathway player, and the 17th practice squad spot is only for an IPP guy. So he will definitely make it there, unless they can find another international player to bring in. But there's one spot reserved for that. So that's a 53 plus about another, 12, 13 on the practice squad. If you want, let me know on Twitter or in the YouTube comments or whatever. If you thought we forgot someone on the practice squad, wanted to make sure we got the 53 in. But that's it. Two quarterbacks, three running backs. We went four at tight end and wound up sticking with it. Six receivers. Maybe one short on the O-line compared to what some people might do. Heavy at D-line for now, but definitely watch for roster moves and some of the last most notable cuts. Derek Forrest, Michael Wiley, Kaz Allen. Tough cuts, but guys that I think you can get onto the practice squad and could certainly play, because the other thing to remember is you got three free call-ups for a guy essentially every single week. So you can have those guys come up and play multiple times. If you want to put a game plan in 1 week for Kaz Allen, you get a free call-up. You actually get three of them. So the way the roster rules now are really, really beneficial to not only help you adjust week by week based off injuries or anything else, just game plan, strategic. If you got small corners, maybe you call it Martavis Bryant. I don't know. But it's also just, it's like 300 extra NFL jobs. And it's good for the game because it allows these guys to develop all year round and not just have to wait. Like, you get cut in August and then maybe you get signed again in April and you go through a 90-man process through the summer and you try to get better and eventually maybe 3 years in, you make a team. And like, those are great stories, but that process can get sped up now because you got more guys in the building, more guys getting coached, and that's good for the health of the game overall. All right, that's our 53-man roster projection. We'll talk about it with Michael Phillips next on The Hoffman Show.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.